I'm very thankful, you know, for many things. One of the gift of music, our dear sister making the effort to come and to worship with us and bring her talent with her, and she makes quite the effort, you know, and God's blessed her for it. He blesses us for our efforts that we make in His behalf. We appreciate it. We praise the Lord for her strength to be able to come and be with us. Thank you, of course, for the gift of new life, a new little one in our midst, you know, sent from the breath of heaven. And, you know, and just couldn't help myself. I just wanted to put a picture up. And so, you know, like I say, I think that it's a good thing to honor the gift of new life. And we love all the little children. God loves all the little children. They're precious in His sight, you know, and we need to, you know, honor that gift and appreciate it. But that in particular wasn't the message that I believe was given to me throughout this week, and asking for your interest in your prayers. And I'm going to turn the table, or the burden of proof, upon each of you. I'm going to turn the burden of proof upon each of you. And ask this question, that what are you bringing to the Lord's table? Okay? It's going to ask us a very important question, some soul searching that we each of us need to ask and to evaluate in our lives. Just on a physical note this morning, you know, as we got up and we thought about coming into church and preparing to come here, what sort of things were you thinking about? What sort of things did you even look into your closet, you know, to put something on to wear? You know, surely you didn't take and go over to the dirty clothes bin or something that, you know, you'd been working in yesterday or things. I'm just trying to say, we took some thought and some care, even about simply what we would put on, you know, and shine up to come in to give the Lord our best, you know, just on a physical note. And going a little step further, did we think about prayer and thanksgiving? How about, you know, our attitude of joy? Was it an attitude of joy? Was it an attitude of tiredness? Was it an attitude of frustration for whatever reasons? Or contemplation? Or wondering how the day was going to go? Did we pray over it? Did we pray about the course of events of this day? Did we think about the others that would be coming? Pray for them. Did we think about that? And think about the title. What are we bringing into the house of the Lord for that faith, that spirit, that attitude? Did we think about that? And the burden of proof from the body of Christ is about what each of us brings. And, you know, because there's some questions I'm going to be asking you. You know, are we an island to ourselves? Are we just each of us an individual that just happens to, well, we come in, yes, we're a member, but are we just to ourselves? And the things that we do and are contained within our life and our decisions, our daily walk, the things that we accomplish each and every day, can they come into the body of Christ? Good or bad? Okay. Can they take an influence? How does it witness to other people? How does it look to other people? The matter of life that we live, the decisions that we make. Does God know the places that we go each and every day? And the influences that we come in contact with, good or bad? And does our life affect the lives of others? Can it? Can my life affect the lives of others? Well, we better hope so. But it's a question that I want to take and I want to ask you. Remember, throughout this here, I'm going to keep reminding you, what are you bringing? What about your life? And I hope there's some thought-provoking questions. You know, and those questions, guess what? they better bounce right into my own mind, my own heart. What am I doing? What am I bringing into the body of Christ? Is it going to affect things? Is it going to make a difference? Can I affect the blessings of the body of Christ? We're going to get into that very heavily. Is it going to affect the blessings of the body of Christ? Here's another one for you. How does my attitude affect the direction of the church? Mine, yours, each of you. From the oldest of us, the more seasoned of us, I would like to say, I don't like to say old, seasoned. It means so much more to the youngest among us. And there's a level of responsibility to the youngest of us, the attitude in which they may come into church. Are we responsible to help nurture their admonition of the Lord? How they view Him, love Him, how His blessings are upon them? They need to learn that through our example, our attitude of faith. How does our influence, how does that matter? Are we witnessing to our own family and our children? You know, I had a chat with sister yesterday about us and how our life and our faith can change the course of the direction of the next generation. Are you going to change the course of the next generation and the things that we plant or sow today? I'm putting that burden of proof upon you. What are you bringing into the body of Christ? And how we are accentuating or adding to that master recipe, you know, and to make it just perfect in God's sight. I'd like to take turn with me over into 1 Corinthians 12th chapter. We're going to do a little reading. Now, some of these scriptures I know that you've read before, you've seen them before. But I am, once again, I want you to keep thinking to yourself, I want you to take this personally, each of you. What are you doing? What are you bringing? And what is your level of care toward your spiritual life? And thinking about the level of blessing and spirituality and all the things we're going to talk about that are contained within the body of Christ, in this congregation. What is your contribution in the spirit and temporally as well, or physically? I'd like to read verses 12 through 14. You've heard these before. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews, Gentiles, bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Okay? And it's discussed as a body, and the body is as a one working entity, but it is many. And it goes on to talk about the hand, the eye, the foot, and so on, different parts. Okay, and we're not going to get into that so much, but wanted to talk about that togetherness and that working member of the body. So I'm going to go over to verse 24 through 27. Our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which part lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for the other. Spiritual division, contention, and division within the body of Christ. No schism in the body of Christ. A very important, concise word. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And so we are part and parcel of and within Jesus Christ, within the Spirit. Okay? But how that works one with another? Do we have care one for the other? Do we care for one another's need? Do we look upon the needs of another? Do we look upon the feelings of another? Do we look how our words may fall when we speak them? And have we thought about those things? That, you know, how have you presented, you know, your words and in conversation that it may have influence in the body of Christ? Good, or is it bad? What kind of influence and is it going to make? To turn over to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Oh, first of all, I'm trying to get us in the frame of mind looking at the oneness in the body of Christ. And then as we need to look at that oneness, then we need to look at ourselves, our influence in that oneness, and how can it affect blessing and the moving of the Lord in our midst. Each of us are made responsible. I want us to understand we are all made responsible. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, teaching, leading, and exampling of the ministry, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The stature, or how large, how full, how moving and living and so on, the view and who Jesus Christ is and what he put within his church for us to attain to, unto perfectness. He's talking about going on unto perfection, doesn't he? Now, this process of learning, the teaching, the exampling, and everything else through the ministry, and even it can be admonishing, but that we be henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. A lot said in that verse, isn't there? Maketh the every joint, each of you are part in joint of the workings of the body of Christ, but according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Now, if your arm's not working, you're not using it, are you? That was one of the issues we were praying over for Brother Jade. His arm was hurt. He did something and he fell and he hurt himself. And his arm's not working. And it's hurt. We pray for him. Of course, he has other issues too. One, his heart. But it's not working. And when one of us are involved in something that the Spirit is not working in our life, it's hurt. And it's not working in the body of Christ. We need to take that seriously, each of us. Are we working in the body of Christ? Are we, as he says, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love? Loving one another, yes. But, you know, there are many, sometimes hard things that we need to do in order to bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness in the body. Now, what have we brought to the table? How have we helped move that along? How have we helped to increase it so the Lord can work or be stifled? The level of the spirit of joy or that of contention? Simple question, isn't it? Where is our part to promote perfecting of the saints? What are we doing about it? I keep looking up here. This screen does not change like that one does for whatever reason, just the way it is. But are we in the mindset to be one body? I hope we are. Are we looking upon the things of the others? Are we looking that others have have their needs met? Do we care that others have their needs met? Or when they don't have something particular they need, we think, well, they deserve it, they don't have it, or whatever thought we may. Or do we care that others are cared for, tended for? Are they happy? Are they sick? Do we care about our brothers and sisters? Do you find yourself thinking upon those that in the congregation and praying for them? Those upon the prayer list, do you think about them and pray for them? What is your part? You know, when the missionaries go overseas or whatever part, and that can be within the missionary effort is outside that door. Do you pray for the missionary effort? You know, we have brothers over in Ethiopia right now, and that's in certain parts that's on the danger list as far as the state's office. There's a lot of things going on there, and we think that things are just all smooth, everything works out, and so on and so forth. But there's some sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice goes on into going out into the missionary field in the portions of the world. There's great sacrifice, and there are sufferings that go on. Some of the brothers, you know, if you get sick out there, and there's germ warfare going on in your stomach, you know, or whatever the matter. There's some real testimonies, and then of course of blessing and healing, where, you know. And what I'm trying to get at is, you know, your prayers are extremely crucially valuable. They are extremely crucially valuable to help our brothers and our sisters and their families and so on. You know, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to send a man out into the field. Well, you pray for their families and their children, the workings in the body of Christ, and things to work out. You know, we give all the Lord the praise. I'm just on a physical sort, you know, with the project. You keep mentioning the project in the bank, you know, adding that on. And I'm going to tell you now, you know, I've worked on enough construction stuff that if one little thing goes wrong, it can thwart the whole project. One inspector says, no, you're not doing that. That thing could be stifled for who knows. There was even in the very beginning when the church was to be built back here. Could have went wrong. Could not have been able to even have this on the spot. Could have had to go on somewhere else. Until the Lord got involved and things worked out. When the Lord is not in the mix, there, you know, there's not blessing. Find so many times through the scriptures. And so, I want you to go with me, please, to Galatians 6:8. Galatians 6:8. Sixth chapter, eighth verse. Now, this is talk about sowing. Sowing is planting. And what are you planting? What are you sowing? What are you, you know, and... talking about planting. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. What are you doing in your life? What kind of things are you engaged in? What kind of investment are you making toward the future? Is it spiritual or is it physical? He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let me ask you a question. Once again, we're turning up the heat here. As you're sowing or you're planting and you're doing your investment of your time, your energy, your intellect, your talents, are you doing it for self-serving reasons outside of here? Are we investing in the kingdom of God? Are we investing in our brothers and sisters? There's so many things that we could be doing that is, are we studying to know the Word of God? That we may show ourselves approved before God Himself, are we even that our knowledge may be increasing, that it may help us? If our knowledge may be increasing, we may be able to help a brother or sister because we were able to share something maybe we've learned. What have we sown? What have we sown? This is your question. This is my question. This is upon you. Take a look, if you will, over in 2 Corinthians 13:15. 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Each of us, he says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates, or turned away from the faith, or in bitterness or contention, or turned away from the work, or staying away, or whatever it be that causes the root of bitterness, you know, to cause us to be opposite of the knowledge of Christ, or to walk opposite of His Spirit and knowledge. Examine yourselves. Each of you. I need to examine myself. You know, go walk up to a mirror. And I'm not saying to adore whatever features that you may have. But look at the person on the other side and ask, are they doing all that they should, all that they can? Does the person on the other side of the reflection care? Do they care about what they bring into the body of Christ? And are you making a difference? Are you influencing the level of righteousness in the body of Christ? Is it diminishing from it? Are we increasing the blessing of the Father in the body of Christ? Are we to push it down and to stifle the Spirit? Oh yes, that can happen. That can happen. Examine ourselves. Once again, I know that I have to take these things to heart myself. I can't tell you anything that I better not be practicing myself. You're one of my harshest critics, I think. Ephesians 4, 1 through 4. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation that wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, but endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Are we endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? And that has everything to do, once again, with what we are bringing into the body of Christ. What have we done in order to endeavor to keep that unity of the faith? But there is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, unto that of the children of Jesus Christ. You're called in the name of Jesus Christ toward that salvation that He has declared and paid for. But who you are in life, you know, your life in Jesus Christ is a vacation, or not vacation, a vocation. Shouldn't say that, but it is a work in love, walking worthy of the price that He paid, the best that we know how, in endeavoring to go on to perfection, but endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. And that is through love and through charity, through the love of God, the love of Christ. But you're called into the high calling of being a Christian. Are we long-suffering with our brothers and sisters? Are we forbearing one another? Are we quick to task, to have to be, to correct, or to do something we've regretted later on, or to say things that we shouldn't? Do we use the, just like they do, I know, and I don't ask you to take and check into whatever the matter, but on TV and radio, they have the couple-second rule, you know, before they can able to blip things out. And sorry, we better think, use that couple-second pause. Before maybe say something, think about it. How does it fall upon the ears of another? With lowliness and meekness. If we have that recipe in our life of lowliness, meekness, humbleness, humility. You know, as far as humor is concerned, if we can learn to laugh at ourselves truly for our own imperfections and mistakes and so on and so forth, then we're learning humbleness and humility. You know. In 1 Corinthians 4:21, Brother Paul, let's take a look there, if you will. 1 Corinthians 4 and 21. 1 Corinthians, we find a very interesting dissertation or exhortation, admonition, admonishment, chastisement. Brother Paul needed to chastise the church at Corinth for the things that were going on there. And he was giving them a chewing. And he asked a very important question. He asked a very important question to them. Basically, he said, "What will you? Or what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love? In the spirit of meekness? Do I have to come with you with correction? Admonishment? Exhortation? Or do I come into you with a soft, gentle moving of the spirit? And congratulating you, or, you know, telling you how good you're doing, or whatever the matter? Or do I need to take you to the woodshed?" And he was doing that in many, many places throughout 1 Corinthians. And of course, in 2 Corinthians, he basically, after starting to set many things straight within the church, I believe he basically told them that, you know, you'd better listen to what I gave to you, and we straightened out here. Guess what? We're going to back up the bus, and we're going to do it again. I believe that's what he was called to do. And there needs to be the admonishment at times. Each of us, a little bit of admonishment in order to yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness. I need the admonishment and correction from time to time. I'm not perfect. You know. We're trying to go there. We want to go there together. And I care. And I need to care, just like this message is trying to declare, I need to care that you're going on to perfection. That needs to be the level of what I'm bringing into the body of Christ. That needs to be the level of my love and my care and so on that I bring to the body of Christ. I need to care that you are going on to perfection. Because I'm going to tell you right now, as far as being in the ministry and being your pastor and responsibility, if I didn't care for that, I'm not doing you one lick of good at all. In whatever way it needs to transpire. I consider myself just like that imperfect rock that's rolling down the road. You know, it's being moved along. And through the process of time, the corners and the rough edges are supposed to be getting smoothed off. So it rolls a little easier as it goes down the road. That's the way it's supposed to be happening. I'm not supposed to be continually making sharper edges and making it harder to roll. We're supposed to be becoming seasoned. But what are we bringing to the Lord's table? Let's take a look over, if you will, and to 1 Corinthians 11. 27 through 32. And one of the passages that we find that Brother Paul had to take care of when they weren't caring for the sacrament in its holiness. I'd like to start in verse 27. Of course, they had their feasting, their partying, and things going on. We won't get into that as much. But this is one item that Brother Paul was taking care of, he needed to have them set in order what is true, what is holy, what needs to be cared for, and why. Because it's not just taking a sip of wine. Remember, it's not just a piece of bread, but how has your life been rendered before the Lord? What are you witnessing before the Lord? And if you're eating and drinking unworthily, then you are drinking, you're hurting. And he's going to tell us why. Let's take a read that, verse 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Why? They had disregarded the holy stature of the sacrament or the blood and body of the Lord. And if we would judge ourselves, he asked us that we should examine ourselves, first of all, didn't he? But there are things that are prevailing beyond that, which we, when we examine ourselves, but if we aren't doing it, he says, we should not be judged. There's another portion to that. And when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. We should not be condemned with the world. Most important thing may not be that you should take of that blood and that, or that wine and that bread at a time until certain things are cared for and straightened out with a clean conscience and in repentance or whatever the need may be. But examine ourselves. But you need to eat of that bread and drink of that cup, he says, that we may have life in us. That is the necessity. That is the true spiritual energy of life eternal. But we need to examine ourselves, but we need to be careful. He's talking about spiritual things when he said that many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. What? Sleep spiritually. And because many people have disregarded the word of the Lord. And sickly among you, guess what? Also, I have to believe that if many sickly among, not only weak spiritually, weak physically. Because the blessings and the healing power of the Lord is not in the congregation when his spirit's not working. And when they've disregarded the holy things such as this, and that evidently, I have to believe that if he's straightening them out there, that there are many more issues in that church that need to be cared for. This is one of them. And this weakness and the physically and spiritually, I'm sure, transcends throughout the body of Christ in other ways. Contentions, divisions, heresies, schism, or as we read a little earlier. Over to Titus 1:15-16. So unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Not even their mind and conscience, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. It permeates into other areas in a person's life when they've stepped out of the workings of the Spirit into their life. And the Spirit's not leading and directing and teaching. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate or turned away from, and not working in their life, and they're walking away. They profess they know God, but in works they deny him. Got to be careful. These things need to be walking the talk and be living it, and the Spirit needs to be working. But once again, if there are those that are not doing those things, what are they bringing into the body of Christ if they are coming? Because God knows they're there, but guess what? It can also stifle the workings of the Spirit in the body of Christ. Let's take a look, if you will, over into Mosiah 1:30, page 214 in your Book of Mormon. I think I have my reference just slightly skewed. I think I've got that slightly skewed. Just a moment here. Okay. Hold on. Just a second. Go to the 73rd verse, please. I got one of my numerals right, and that was a 3. The other one shows my human nature. And guess what? I got the page number right, didn't I? Goodness sake, we're on a roll. 3 out of 4 can't be bad, okay? But my people, beware. It's verse 73, page 214. Lest there shall arise contentions among you, and ye list to obey the evil spirit which was spoken of by my father, Mosiah. Okay, be careful, Paul was saying, that there will arise contentions among you. You know, we got to be, when the Lord has something good going, pure going, and so on, and things are fluid and working throughout the body of Christ, the adversary doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. And he'd like to walk in, wreak havoc. He doesn't like peace. He doesn't like contentment. He doesn't want your joy, and he doesn't want your salvation. That's a pure fact. He don't want that. He wants to take you in the other direction. He wants to lead you in the other direction. He'd like, and contention and so on and so forth. It's just like his own version of whatever soap opera you want to talk about, which I don't recommend either. But we got to be careful of these things. And the scriptures talk about even praying against the powers of the adversary because there's spiritual wickedness in high places. And so he's walking to and fro in the earth, and he's roaring as a lion, knows his time is short, and who's he want to go to? If he's got other people on cruise control, don't have to use as much effort on them, he'd like to get into the body of Christ and wreak havoc. We must be careful of these things. We've got to keep him kicked out and send him packing. We've got to be careful of these things. The spirit of love and joy and peace and the workings of the spirit are much that hedge about the body of Christ. We must be careful that we're not out walking out there in the world. And what are we bringing into the body of Christ? Once again, the burden of proof is upon each of us. What are you bringing into the body of Christ? We can't be bringing worldly things into the body of Christ. What is it that is promoting, you know, the workings of the kingdom of God? Over in Romans 8, let's see here now. Sorry, got one more left. Page 634, 3 Nephi 5, 5 and 30. Page 634. Hey, we fared pretty good on this reference. Not too bad. Well, we can't have, we got to watch, no pride over the issue. He's got one more right. The words of Jesus, when he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, who is the father of contention. He stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger one with another." And as some wise men once pointed out, that anger is one sort of danger. There's a D called danger. Only one letter short of danger. So we must be careful. The devil's the author of contention. We've got to be careful of these things. You know, Scripture talks about if there's provoking to be done, let's do it the right way. They're provoking one another to love and to good works of love, the things that promote the workings of the Spirit and so on. And so I wanted to bring these things up because we're going a little further about how these things also can help to the workings of the Lord prevailing. In Romans 8, 5 through 9, "For they that after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is an enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." You know, it's not a good thing. The carnal mind. And we're supposed to be working always upon that spiritual mind. And accomplishing the things of God will allow us the feelings or the humble walk, humility, and so on, can allow the spiritual mind to be working. Accomplishing spiritual works and learning about the ways of the Lord. Dwelling upon the things of the Lord, praying, or fasting, praying, looking after one another, thinking about one another, thinking ahead upon the workings of the body of Christ, praying about the work. All those things, there are so many and ways to use our time that is more spiritually based, not carnal. We don't want enmity. We don't separation. We don't want things that are not of the Lord, but things that are going to promote the workings of the Lord within the body of Christ. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You know, we got to be careful once again that we can't hop in and out of the world. And it's not, we think, some people can think that they can hop in and out of the world. Have both the best of both, if you will, and that just doesn't happen. He said, "We will love one and hate the other." So we can't do that. You know, we want that the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to prevail, and so we're trying to develop and to mature and to promote. And once again, that also, these things are not just about us. And not just about my, you know, if I were to be enveloped in things, or our brothers in the ministry, if we were to be involved in things that you know we shouldn't be, as the scriptures dictate, or they would certainly affect the word of the Lord even being preached, the teachings that are taught. How about the blessings within the body, the workings of the Spirit? How about the Lord talking and leading and directing our congregation? How about our administrations? My life was not right before the Lord. How, you know, to honor the Spirit of healing and direction and power is of the Lord. Yes. But we need to be, as Paul told Timothy, fit for the Master's use. We need to be fit for the Master's use. So I can't be partaking of that carnal spirit. I hope that the Lord is going to bless our ministries. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship in the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Now, how does that happen? But that the Spirit of the Lord is moving among our people to enjoy and to want to worship together, to be with one another, you know, to work with one another. You know, I truly appreciate it. I'm thankful that we've had that spirit of joy and so on, and humility in many ways, even in our physical project in the back. You know, to do those things and the workings of the Lord. I praise the Lord, you know, and it's just been a joy. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. You know, that we could appreciate the talents of one another. And we appreciate them, not that we have vainglory, that we wish that we had that. Oh boy, I wish I had it. And no, appreciate that they have it, because God has blessed them with it. That's just the way it is. You know? And not look on every man in his own things, but the man on the things of others. You know? And let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We'd want that others would excel in the workings of the Lord, in his basking his spirit, enjoying of his gifts, that they may excel, promote the workings of the Lord in the body of Christ. I'm thankful that there are many that have these talents for the workings of the body of Christ. Of knowledge, of teaching, of leading, of joy. There are those that have the spirit of hospitality more than I do. And I appreciate that. Not because I'm glad that God has blessed them with it. Romans 4:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. When we think about that, our studies, our spiritual activities and so on, follow after peace. I'm asking you these questions. I have to ask myself the same. Is what I am doing follow after the things that make peace and promote all the workings? Remember that what we're bringing to the Lord's table is helping to the swelling of the Spirit and the workings of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, within our midst. One may edify one another, that we may encourage. He says, encourage one another while the day is approaching. Which day? The day of Christ as He comes. Ephesians 5:2. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Are you doing that? You have a childlike faith? Do you look to one another that, you know, you see the kids that come together, and you see them that they want to play with one another, they're anxious to be with one another, and they don't want to leave one another. It's time to go home now, and then the battle begins. They don't want to go, they want to play. Are we like that with our brothers and sisters? I've seen us spend more time, a lot of times, after church out in the parking lot fellowshipping. You know, and that's a precious thing. You know, a lot of time we've talked to one another about issues and whatever out in the parking lot, kind of like a parking lot ministry, you might say. It's so neat. But walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given Himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So is our walk in Christ, are the things that we are doing pleasing to the Lord, and are they a sweet smelling savor? When things are done in faith, when things were done in love, when things are done to edify one another in humility, in love, and in the workings of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is it a sweet-smelling savor unto our Lord in all things? Is our congregation... There we go. Is our congregation one that the Father is pleased to bless and work with? Here's your question. Here's my question. Is our congregation one that the Father is pleased to bless and work with? Do we see those evidences? Do we observe them? Do we feel them? That's your question. I'm provoking you. I'm telling you. We've got to take a look at it. Each of you. I got to take a look at that. You know? Can He speak in our midst? Oh, the Lord, nothing is beyond the Lord. But we see the workings of the Spirit in love and edification, all the things that He's contained within His Word. Can He speak in our midst? It comes down to the many simple, basic things. Can He speak in our midst? Or is the stifling of the Spirit, you know? We got to be careful of that. How have we all brought something? We got to all be careful, each of us. What we have brought to the table that accentuates the working of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. To direct, to warn, callings, to teach, to lead. You know, and we pray for the word of the Lord. We all observe and know and look at and testify. We see the time approaching of the coming of Christ to the earth. There won't be peace upon the earth until the Lord comes again. And we want that He would lead us, teach us, direct us, warn. We have observed dreams that have been testified through many people. There shall be visions. There shall be revelation or prophecy. How about callings for the working of the ministry? That's a revealment of the Lord. to direct someone into the field to teach the saving message of Jesus Christ. Can he speak in our midst? We're all responsible for that level of what we've brought into the body of Christ. What have we brought to the Lord's table? Is the Holy Spirit only reserved for the ministry? Let me ask you that question. The Holy Spirit is given to those that have believed, followed, entered in by the way. He says, if you entered by the way, that you should receive. And the Holy Spirit, it never said in there now that we should be exampling, and where it talks about the ministry being in samples. I mean, you know, that we need to be showing that humility, humbleness, meekness, and so on. And leading and teaching, of course, yes, too, especially. But the Holy Spirit is not reserved just for the ministry. It must move throughout the body of Christ. People receiving gifts and blessings, vision, dream. Are you in that condition to be used of the Spirit? It's a very pointed question, isn't it? Do we take? Can we push it off? Sure, you can push off a leading or a prompting that you may be feel or be used of the Spirit. That there are people believe I have to be in control of myself. I can't be lending myself to anything else but of my own mind and my own strength and my own intellect. We must be careful. The Apostle Paul said that when he was weak, then he was strong. He talked about speaking in tongues and prophecy and visions. And that comes by a humble walk of humility and so on. Moroni 10, 8 through 18. This is our last scripture. Moroni 10, 8 through 18. Again, I exhort you, my brethren, that you deny not the gifts of God, for they are many. And they come from the same God. There are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. And they are given by the manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. One is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom, and to another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another exceeding great faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another that he may work mighty miracles, and again to another that he may prophesy concerning all things, and again to another that he may be the beholding of angels and ministering spirits. And again to another, all kinds of tongues. And again to another, the interpretation of languages and diverse kinds of tongues. All these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they come unto every man severally according as he will. I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That all these gifts which I have spoken which are spiritual will never be done away as long as the world shall stand. Only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Wherefore, where there must be faith. If there must be faith, there must be hope. And if there must be hope, there also must be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can nowise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith. Neither can ye if ye have no hope. If ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. And despair becometh because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if you have faith, you can do all things which are expedient in me. The right thing. You'll be doing the right thing. Now I speak unto the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh, that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And I say this to you, I say this to myself, that all of these depend, you know, with the workings within the body of Christ. They're very, very intricate as well. It's just like that finely put together watch that will last and that will work, each piece fitting together intricately, just like the scripture says. We must, we think about our level of care. We're not just an island to ourselves, or just that we can have our own secret life and then come into the body of Christ. No, no. It's that we must think about our brothers and sisters, that we love them, and that the things that we may accomplish spiritually will be to help, to balance, and to accentuate, and to promote the body of Christ and the workings of the power of God within our midst, in the body of Christ. I thank you for your love and for your prayers.